Can we please give them a great big hand? A beautiful song sung by beautiful people. Well done, Trina. Well done, Anna. Well, good morning, my Gateway fam. How are you today? Are you well? It is good to see you. Put your hand up if you've still got some Christmas shopping to do. Okay, yeah, to my left, in the middle, to my right, right. Okay, cool, cool. And to my far right, just a little like mucky cucka bit of shopping. Yeah, cool. Put your hand up if you were not planning on going out this afternoon, but you now realize that you have to. If that's you, put your hand up. Yeah, yeah. I'm that person too. Yeah, because this afternoon I'm going to head out and buy a couple of more gifts that I've thought of for my one and only, for my bae, Trina. Yeah. And, you know, my wife and I have this funny little thing that we do in our home. And so when we Christmas shop, when the other one gets home, we tell them, we say, "Gotcha a present today. Gotcha a present." And we make it a bit of a thing. We're trying to build the anticipation. And so we're really looking forward to Christmas. But my wife can be a little bit like, "No, no more presents." And I'm like, "But honey, it's the first time I've mentioned that I got you something." And so, you know, what I tend to do in that moment is get close to Trina and say, "Hey, what about my presence?" And let's just say that she's putty in my hands. It's a good thing I'm up here right now and she's not. Okay, thankfully I have the mic. That's a good thing. You know, for centuries, even millenniums, man has tried to explain God or disprove the existence of God. I believe that one of the reasons why man has tried to disprove the existence of God is simply because if we can prove that God does not exist, then it means that we have no responsibility toward God. Because if God is real, it means we have a responsibility to our Lord, our Creator, and our Savior. But people can ask questions like, "Who is He? What is He like? Does He even exist? What does He do? And does He care?" Both men and women, educated and non-educated, philosophers, scientists, authors, artists, astrologists, musicians, journalists, godly and ungodly, have all presented their own explanation of God. From Marx to Michelangelo, from Buddha to Bach, from Darwin to Da Vinci and more. But the historical evidence of Jesus Christ is both long established and widespread. Within a few decades of Jesus' lifetime, his works are mentioned and also recorded by Jewish and Roman historians, as well as dozens of Christian writers. And of course, the best way to know God and who God is and to learn what He is like is to read His book. And we call it the Bible. Because the Bible was written by men who were led, moved, and inspired by God, who is the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of the book. Throughout time, God has revealed Himself and spoken to man through creation, signs, wonders, and dreams. He spoke to Jacob in a dream in Genesis 28, to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapters 2-4, and of course, to Joseph in a dream. I'm just highlighting dreams for a few moments because we have some people in our congregation who have the gift of interpreting dreams, which I personally find very interesting. It's actually quite fascinating talking to my eldest daughter, Anna, who was really developing a gift of the interpretation of dreams. And one of the things that Anna has taught my wife and I is that, you know, dreams can be very significant, and it's not so much what happens in the dream, although that can be quite symbolic, but it's more how the dream makes you feel. But God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Obviously, we know the story of Joseph and Mary, that they were betrothed, engaged to be married. And Mary has this supernatural encounter with God where she conceives by the Holy Spirit to bear the Savior of the world. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "But while Joseph thought about these things." You know, Joseph must have been just a really great guy, I think. Joseph had some things to think about. It says, but while Joseph thought about these things. What was it, do you think, that Joseph was thinking about? He had a lot to ponder on. He had a lot to think about, because just to set up what I'm about to say next, if you can just keep in mind that Mary has had a supernatural encounter with God. By this time, in this story, in Matthew chapter 1, Mary has communicated to Joseph of the supernatural encounter, but Joseph at this time is still responding with a natural and a carnal mindset. And, you know, it's very difficult to comprehend and understand supernatural things with a natural and a carnal mindset, which is one of the reasons why we're looking at Reset the Mindset in January 2018. But I want you to just imagine with me for a few moments. Mary has had this supernatural encounter, and she's engaged to Joseph to be married. Consider also that Mary is in either her early teens or mid-teens. They're both so excited about their future, but now Mary comes to Joseph, and Mary is like, Joey, there's something that I've been meaning to tell you. In fact, I need to tell you something. I'm not really sure how to put it, but I'm just going to come right out with it. And here it is. It's like, I'm pregnant. Joseph would be like, what? Can you imagine the shock that Joseph was just under as he heard this news? And he would have been like, who is he? And when did this happen? And Mary's like, well, you see, that's the thing. I don't really know how it happened. I don't remember it. But, you know, at the end of the day, hey, an angel came to me and said, hey, Mary, you found favor with God. You're so highly and divinely favored. And guess what? You've been chosen, and you're going to bear the Savior of the world. So she's like, Joseph, that's good, right? That's good. But Joseph is like, man, I thought I knew this woman. Like, can you imagine? He's like, I thought I knew this woman, but and now she's pregnant and she's an alcoholic because she can't remember it happening. And so again, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, but while Joseph thought about what to do, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so, out of all the various means that God has used to speak to us, in these last days, no form of communication was set forth more clearly and more fully than God's final revelation of his own true nature and character, when the eternal holy God and the one clothed in glory whom the universe cannot contain allowed himself to be clothed in human flesh through Jesus Christ, when God became man and dwelt among us. And you know, if you want to know what God the Father is like, then Jesus Christ is that revelation and the exact representation of what God the Father is like. If you want to know what God is like, look no further than Jesus. In John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so Jesus was born of his earthly mother, but he was conceived through the Holy Spirit by his heavenly Father. I, however, was conceived by my earthly dad, and so therefore I have both my mother and my father's DNA in my body. You know, I got many of my facial features from my father's side, but I got my nose from my mother's side. If you look at my dad's nose, it's really quite, you know, sculpted and shaped and really quite nice, but I got this little bump at the ridge of my nose which is kind of like my mother's nose. I got my eyes from my mother's side, but I got my tall genes from my father's side because my mother's maiden name was Buckley, and the Buckleys, especially my mother's brothers, were, you know, all short, barrel-chested with skinny legs. And they were like 4 foot nothing. And if you can imagine like a wine barrel on two broomsticks about like this kind of high, that's my my mother's brothers. But I got my tall genes on my father's side. But let's look at some of the natural and supernatural DNA of Jesus and how God became man. Because Jesus was created as a baby in the womb of Mary on his mother's side, but all things were created through Jesus on his father's side. Jesus was born natural on his mother's side, but he was supernatural on his father's side. He was the Son of Man on his mother's side, but he was the Son of God on his father's side. He was 33 years of age when he died on his mother's side, but he is called the Rock Eternal on his father's side. He was ordinary on his mother's side, but he was extraordinary on his father's side. He got his body from his mother's side, but he got his blood from his father's side. Because it's the daddy who decides the blood type, and his blood did not come from Joseph because Mary was a virgin. It came from our Heavenly Father, and that's what makes Jesus' blood pure, undefiled, and the only true and acceptable sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. You see, Christmas is the season to celebrate the birth of Christ, but the reason he came was to become the only acceptable sacrifice and to pay the price for our sins upon the cross, which is why God became man and the light of the world, so that no one would walk in darkness but have the light of life. I remember a few years ago reading an article in the Border Morning Mail about someone who, with great excitement, had invested in decorating their house with Christmas lights, only to have them vandalized and stolen along with their joy. Can you imagine for a moment, you're somebody and you're just so excited about putting up Christmas lights, and you've taken the time, you've invested money, and you're doing this for others, only to wake up one morning to find that everything's been trashed and stolen. How would it make you feel? Well, this particular lady in this article said that I will never put up Christmas lights again in and on my house. She was clearly discouraged, disappointed, and in despair. And you know, her statement got me thinking, because this is how people tend to deal and cope with life. Because we too can turn off or shut down from being adventurous, bright, and colorful, just the way God created us to be. Because like in this article, we too can say, I will never do this again, because I never want to feel like that again. And we shut down because we give power away to an event or to a person that leaves us feeling perhaps abandoned, perhaps rejected, or in despair, and we make choices that are not always healthy for us in life. And I'm aware that, you know, many here have had perhaps a tough year and have not only received some unfavorable news, but some have also lost some loved ones, which has led also to some very dark and lonely days that are full of doubts and fears and struggles within. And of course, this is one of the reasons why the angel came from heaven to declare some very good news to us. That no matter what the season No matter what season you find yourself in, no matter the feelings of abandonment or fear or discouragement, the angel of God declares hope in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ Jesus the Lord."